morning. So I get to preach part two of a six-part series. The series is phenomenal. I really believe that if you make these time and if you apply some of these principles to your life, that your life will be more filled with wisdom by the end of the series. I want to just start off by asking a question. Why are you here this morning? It's a very important question to ask. It's a very important question to answer. As we'll see from Solomon just now, he asks the why, because it's more important than the how and the what. So this series is called The Path, and essentially it's a series of study of Proverbs. We know that Proverbs was written by Solomon, was known to be the wisest man that has ever walked the planet, of course, after Jesus. But I want to point out that this is not Solomon's wisdom. This is God's wisdom that's manifested through Solomon, so that he could lead well in the time that he was here, but also so that he could leave the book of Proverbs for us to learn from. It's as applicable in Solomon's day as it is in our day. The same principles apply. They are timeless. The word of God does not change. God is a sovereign God. He never changes. When Ryan opened last week, he said this, and this is a very important life lesson for all of us. So let's listen carefully. He says, your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Is that correct? That's right. I just got to make sure. I can be a bit simple sometimes. Your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Sometimes, and in fact, Ryan actually shared a great analogy, which I want to repeat this week, because I thought it was a great example. And he said this, if you are planning to go to Balito Beach, and you get onto the N3, it doesn't matter how many beach balls you pack. It doesn't matter how many beach umbrellas you've got in the back of your car. And it doesn't matter how much suntan cream you put on. In about 5.5 or 6 hours' time, you are going to arrive at a great body of water. But it's not Balito Beach. It's the Groot Dam. Okay? That is, of course, the Vaal. And so if you're traveling with your family, and your wife is expecting to get out of the car and sink her feet into sandy beaches, she's going to be highly annoyed with you. It's not going to be a great wisdom decision on your part. She may even ask you to step out of the car and drive back and leave you to walk. So we want to make choices and we want to step onto the right paths. Of course, when we think about traveling and we think about before we leave home in a car, if we're unsure of where we want to go, what do? Practically, we look at a map. We say, well, if I want to get from here to there and I don't know the way, I need to map my course out. I need to go as far as saying, where are the petrol stations? Where are the pit stops in case I need to be refueled? So we do that practically before we go on a journey, but very rarely, often, We don't do it in our relationships. We don't do it often in our health, in our financial situations, and even in our walk with God. Our direction, not our intention, determines our destination. So as we build on this thinking through this particular message today, and we build on it through the series, let's be intentional about considering our position. We're going to look now at exactly where the book of Proverbs, which is known as the book of wisdom, is actually physically placed within the Bible, because I think it's very important. So when we In fact, if you've got your Bible here, you can just turn to the index page. Very easy. It's page 2. Okay. It's probably the only page that I can say in everybody's Bible it's the same. Okay. So there, you can't get lost there. Page 2, index. Let's look at the first 17 books of the Bible. What are they? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. What's next? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. First 17. Those are known as the history books because they're the history of Israel. As Israel prepared for the coming of the Messiah, that was the history. The next 5 books is known as the wisdom books or the poetic books. What are they? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. Those are the wisdom books. Now, I find it very interesting because wisdom comes after history if we're prepared to learn from the past. Wisdom comes after history if we're prepared to learn from the past. You know, Christians often say this. They say that you should forget the past. So I don't believe that's true. We shouldn't dwell in the past. But if we don't understand what has led us to the position that we're in our lives at this very point, if we don't understand how we got here, how are we going to map out the destination from our current position? Because we're going to continue to make the same mistakes. So we need to look at history, but we don't carry it forward in terms of our negative thinking and dwelling on maybe things that haven't gone right. The truth is that your position, where you find yourself today, right here, is generally a sum total of the decisions that you've made, which ultimately is the way that we think. There's an old Irish adage, which I love. I've mentioned it before in a preach, and I want to mention it again. It's a very deep thought, this. It says this. There was an Irish traveler, and he ended up in a field, and he came across a farmer, and he said to the farmer in the field, he said, "I'm trying to get to Tipperary." And the farmer turned and he looked at him dead in the eyes. And he said, "Sir, if I was trying to get to Tipperary, I most certainly would not start from here." Now think about that. The position, your starting position, in terms of the path that you're on, is incredibly important when it comes to realizing the destination that you're expecting. Your starting point is very important. I think the wisdom-filled man that Solomon was would mean that he would write a book and he would explain at the beginning of the book exactly why he's writing it. The why, as he knew, was more important than the how and the what. So we're going to look at Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, where he explains to us, so there's no misconception about why he's written this book. If we look at that, Proverbs 2 says clearly, he said, "For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight." Who wants to attain wisdom and discipline? All of us. We all want understanding and words of insight. Number 3 says, "For acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair." We all want to be prudent, all of us. "For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young." Now, when I mention that word simple, okay, I just want to clarify that simple just means lack of wisdom. Okay, I can be quite simple sometimes. That's why I need a wife. Okay, especially one that's more prudent than me. As hard as it is to
this publicly. She made me. I'm joking. Okay, and so the great thing about verse 4 is this. It says, for giving prudence to the simple, like me. In other words, if you don't feel like you're too wisdom-filled, that's okay. Because you can learn wisdom. We learn it from the past. We learn it from people around us. So don't worry. If you've made mistakes, you can learn from those. I can learn from them. Can you see the word that's been repeated between verse 3 and verse 4? What is that word? Can somebody tell me? Sorry? Prudence. When God repeats a word, it's because it's very significant. So God is comparing two types of people in this particular proverb. The simple and the prudent. Okay, don't forget that it's not simple in stupid. It's just lack of wisdom. Okay, so that's a very important thing to understand. You see, simple doesn't necessarily mean unintelligent. Often very clever people, people with very high IQs, can be simple. And I think probably part of the reason for that is because sometimes very clever people that know a lot are not teachable. And so if you try and engage in a relationship where you're trying to teach somebody wisdom that's not prepared to learn, ultimately they're never going to learn anything. That's why we don't want to be simple. We want to be teachable. The young generation of today, friends, and I want to say bless them, because they're the future. They have access to knowledge like never before. They have access to information that we couldn't even have dreamed of. It's incredible. But sometimes they seem to be some of the most unwisdom generation or people that have ever lived. Some of the most basic fundamental wisdom lessons they lack. There's a whole lot of reasons for that, which we can't go into today, but the truth is that it's not really their faults. Ultimately, they inherit what we leave for them. That's why we've got to continue to pray for this generation, friends, like never before. They need our prayers. They need our wisdom. They need to launch off our shoulders. They need to learn from our mistakes. What father that has any sense wants his child to make the same mistakes that he did? Certainly I don't. We want to kill those giants so our children don't have to carry them as we continue in relationship with them. Listen to what Solomon says in these next three proverbs. Phenomenal. Proverb 12, verse 16, he says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. The simple are controlled by their emotions. Okay? The prudent control their emotions. Your emotions are not the highest indicator of truth. Just because you're feeling something doesn't mean it's true. The word of God is our anchor and is the highest indicator of truth. Solomon says in Proverbs 14, verse 15, he says, the simple believe everything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. In other words, the simple, and please, again, I just want to reiterate, simple does not mean stupid. Okay. The simple often don't give thought to the step that they're going to take next. They just invest. That's why we need people around us. Prudent people surround themselves with wise counselors. Before they make a move, they inquire, what are your thoughts? I spoke to somebody this week who, unfortunately, it was the brother of the man. And he said, man, I don't know what to do. He said, my brother's gone and taken his entire RA that he could draw down on, obviously retirement annuity, his pension. And he met somebody, he hasn't known him long. The guy said he could double it in 3 years. He gave him 1.2 million rand. Just like that. Guess what? He can't get hold of the guy. The guy's, boom. His family is devastated. If he'd given thought, spoken to maybe an investor, somebody that knows more than he does about investing, even his own brother, and said, hey, what are your thoughts here? He could have saved himself and his family an awful lot of pain. In Proverbs 23, verse 3, and in Proverbs 27, verse 12, again, as God is repeating this in two Proverbs. That's why it's important. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple see danger, keep going, and pay the penalty. Interesting, the simple and the prudent see the danger. The difference is that the prudent person sees the danger and changes direction. The simple just keeps on going. There's, you know, I want to say this, that it's payday someday. Okay, so listen to these words. It's payday someday. Somebody's going to pay the bills for decisions that we make. Often it's not even us. Sometimes, unfortunately, it can be our children. They pay the bills for the lack of wisdom that we have. That's the truth, friends. As hard as that is, it's a realization of what wisdom actually means. This wisdom of Solomon, thousands of years later, becomes a blessing for us. The prudent change direction, the simple keep on going, and just hope that everything will work out fine. I've got 3 points, and I want to, I'm hoping that we're going to see more clearly this concept of changing course. Did I tell you that is the name of this preach, by the way? Did I say that the name of the preach is called course correction? Did I say that? No. That's not very wisdom-filled of me. It's rather simple, Andrew. So the name of the preach, as we start, is called Course Correction, and it's actually how to change course. Sorry about that. So the prudent make course corrections. All right. So two of my greatest loves. Okay. Well, first of all, Pam, and then, of course, God, my son, lots of things. But two of my favorite things that I enjoyed doing at some point of my life. One of them was sailing. The other one was hiking. And when I was writing this preach, I was thinking, what was God trying to teach me through this? Because both of them take very intentional course correction, sailing and hiking. I'm going to try and describe a sailing concept here. Often when I was on watch, I was on the helm, and we were delivering a yacht somewhere, I was quite nervous because obviously you can't see anything. You rely on instruments only. And just off the stern, for example, at 15 or 20 degrees, you would see the port light of another vessel. In the distance, you see the red light, which means that you're seeing its left side over your right side, which means you're traveling in a similar direction. When you look at that light, and it is at, say, 15 degrees off the second stanchion, and it continues to be 15 degrees over a period of time, you know there's danger coming. You know that at some point, your bow and its bow are going to meet, which could most definitely cause you some serious danger, even sink your vessel, because the direction that you're traveling in is exactly the same direction as the danger. If you make a short course correction, just 1 or 2 degrees, doesn't have to be a big tack to the right or whatever, just a small 1 or 2 degrees. You see that light slowly moving degree relation different to you, to you, which means that you've averted the danger. So we do this in our lives. So we do this often in practical situations like sailing, where we make the course correction. But we don't do it in our lives. We don't do it in our relationships. We don't do it when there's danger with our health. We wait till we have a cardiac arrest before we, okay, well, I guess I better change something about my health. We don't do it in our walk with God, but we do it practically in other areas. I had a meeting with somebody this week, a very lovely man, and it was a great hour and a half of investment. And one of the things he said to me, he said, I really want to hear more deeply from God. I want a stronger relationship. I want to hear him in this particular situation. I thought that is so admirable. How amazing. That is a great thing to want. The truth is that God speaks through people. If we're going to sit here like, and wait for him to speak, it could be a long time. So God puts people in your path to help to guide you and invest in you as a person, to help to give wisdom to you. So the encouragement is to understand relationships of discipleship. A prudent person is teachable, because part of choosing a different path is being teachable enough to say, I accept your advice. I'm going to think about it and make a decision. Sometimes we need to say this habit, this relationship, this attitude, this financial decision is leading me down a path I shouldn't be going. And then we need the courage to make course correction. My point too is just a simple keep right on going. When a simple person realizes that there's an issue in their relationship, often they keep right on going. When a simple person realizes that there's a financial issue in their lives, often they just keep right on going. When a simple person realizes that there's an issue in their relationship with God, they just keep right on going. When we look at the second half of Proverbs 27 verse 12, it says the simple keep right on going and pay the penalty. If you invest nothing, you will get a return. But it's going to be nothing. Jess, stop laughing. We're supposed to launch our children off of our shoulders, friends. I'm going to have a conversation with my son. And initially I asked Jordan to enter into this dialogue with me because he's full of wisdom and he's a prudent guy. And I wanted to make him Mr. Prudent and me Mr. Simple, because sometimes I can do simple things. But I thought, after speaking to my prudent wife, that she gave me some wisdom and said, well, why don't you ask Finley to do this? Because Finley needs to grow in his ability to public speak. And so this will give him an opportunity just not to be nervous, but to learn a skill of public speaking. There's two things that people fear most. One is death, and the other one is public speaking. So both of those we don't have to worry about, do we, as believers? So Finley, why don't you come up and let's have a conversation. Okay, this is a straightforward conversation between Mr. Simple and Mr. Prudent. And the reason I've asked him up is because I want to launch him off of my shoulders. That's the truth. Okay, I know that's going to be a problem. I really, really ought to make a change.
Are you going to do something about it?
No, I'm probably just going to carry on going for now.
Well, don't you see what's going to happen if you don't change course?
I see what's going to happen.
Well, shouldn't you do something about it then?
Yeah, you're right. So I should probably
do something. I should, you know, but doing something, it just seems really hard.
So what are you going to do?
Nothing. Just keep on going.
Well, don't you see where your road's leading to?
Yeah, I should probably change. I mean, like, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not getting irritated, but, I mean, I've said to you, it's just really difficult. So I'm probably just going to carry on going for now.
What are you going to do?
Just, I've told you, I'm just going to keep on going.
You're driving towards a wall, and when you get there, you're going to hit it.
Yes, I know I'm driving towards a wall. I can see it. I can see it, but something's going to happen. Like, something will work out. I mean, when I get towards it, I'll probably just pray harder.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I'm going to pray harder. Something's going to come up.
Yeah, a wall.
A what? A wall. Wonderful. Thank you, Lynn. So sometimes it's very hard for us to change because we get stuck into the pattern in which we've been going. Sometimes, I guess one of God's greatest navigational instruments in our lives is the people that are around us. People who love us enough to speak the truth. If you are engaged in a discipleship relationship with someone and they feel to speak correction to you and you can't accept it, it's going to be very difficult for that person to continue to engage in that mentorship relationship. We have to accept that sometimes people speak truth to us and it feels painful. But the truth is that in the pain of changing, it's where ultimately we have the most growth. Because we're never really going to change in a positive direction if we're not put under pressure. It's under pressure that we see the change coming. It's where we get stronger. Sometimes, yeah. Nobody really wants to be called simple, of course. Yet the heart of foolishness is to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. Think of a child who continually loses their temper when they're young. The parents see it. The teachers might see it. The friends might see it. The kids' ministry might see it. But it just seems too hard to correct. So nobody does anything about it. Nobody has those deeper, harder conversations. And then what happens? As they grow up, they battle to keep relationships because they keep on flying off the handle. They battle to keep a job, you know. And of course, whose fault is that? Well, of course, we're all responsible for our own decisions because we're in charge of ourselves, ultimately. But it also is the responsibility of the people that are around them to speak truth to them. It's very important, friends, to help people to find wisdom. The same principle applies to our finances, it applies to our health, it applies to all of our relationships. The prudent make course correction. And this leads me to my third and final point. As prudent people know, it's not what they see that makes a difference, it's what they do. So I've got three quick things here before we run out of time. The first one is very simple, take action. In other words, if you're not prepared to step off the path, then nothing's going to change. It's difficult, of course, we understand that because we're creatures of habit. We get used to going in a certain direction. We gather momentum, and sometimes it takes us a while to stop that momentum and even to go back to the junction in the path where we can take another course. We have to accept there's going to be a sacrifice. Often people don't want to make changes because there's a sacrifice involved, and sometimes short-sightedness means that we think that the sacrifice at the end is less than worth less than the sacrifice that we make now. So there's definitely a sacrifice that's going to be required. We're in a process Pam and I felt that in our business, 12 months, we want to be debt-free. We don't want to owe the bank anything. Hey, it's hard.
It's hard to go on those overdraft reductions because you're not as liquid as you were. It's like walking through mud, but we know that in 12 months' time, we're going to celebrate this. It's going to be much better. We're going to be free of the chains of bondage and owing to the bank. Who wants to be owing anything? But it's a hard sacrifice. And of course, you've got to be willing to stand out. And this is very important because the pattern of the world will say, if you don't do this, you're going to look doff. Okay, why don't you join us? Don't go to church on Sunday. No, why don't you? No, let's go to the beach. Let's go and, I don't know, whatever it might be, the hobby. You know, and so they go, well, what are you going to church for, man? That's like, is that even fun? Is it a good investment? You know, so we have to, you know, if we think about somebody in the Bible that looked really stupid, who would that be? Who looked doff in the Bible? Come on, guys. Come on, Old Testament. There's a boat. Noah, yes. Imagine what the people must have said to him when he was building his boat. They must have gone, this is completely, he's like lost it. Like it hasn't rained for years. He's got a team of people to build a boat in the middle of a desert. Like, what's the point? And then I would ask you how they felt when he was and his family was on the boat and they literally were dying. Because he heard from God. That's why our relationship with God is very important. And it's also incredibly important to understand that God speaks through people. He's going to give you wisdom if you align yourself with someone that has some fruit behind them. Unfortunately, I'm pretty much out of time. I just want to say that there is one book that I loved as a child. We'll bring up the picture quickly. It is the picture, the book of the three little pigs. And if Solomon was around in these days and he'd met Enid Blyton, he would have said, those two first pigs are simple pigs and the third pig is the prudent pig. The simple pigs took the wrong material and they slapped together a house that wasn't going to stand up. The prudent one took a bit longer. He found the right material and he built with the right material. And we all know what happened at the end. What happened? Can you help me? He huffed and he puffed and he blew their house down. Yeah, you heard the story. Seriously, friend, I'd love to ask us to stand as we bring this preach to a close this morning. Let's not waste one more minute on what we know we should do. When you're evaluating the path that you're on and you know it's leading to a brick wall, reflect and redirect. Reflect and redirect. Be like your navigation instrument in the car when you take a wrong turn. It says redirecting. And then assesses where you are. And it says follow this path. Practically, some steps. We can come back next week. We can read the book of Proverbs. We can reflect and redirect. We can join a small group, a life group when they're open again. And find someone that can invest in your life, that has more wisdom than you. The prudent see danger and take refuge. When God spoke to Solomon, he said, tell me whatever you want. Whatever you want, I'll give to you. He didn't ask for a victory in an army, in a war. He didn't ask for more money. What did he ask for? Wisdom. Because he knew that that was priceless. So as we close our eyes, as we end off this particular message about course correction, I want to ask for a response. It's a faith thing. That's why we do this. Because it's the first step onto a new path. It's the first step of a course correction. If you're on a path this morning with all eyes closed that you know is leading to a brick wall, maybe you've been down this road before, but you need courage and you need wisdom to make the correction, I want to ask you to raise your hand. Father, we thank you this morning that the first step in course correction is to change direction. We thank you, Father, that this message is all about changing direction. Give us the courage, the wisdom, the revelation, and the hope to see the future different from the past because of the decisions that we made here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Solomon, for this word. We're going to bump into you one day. In the mighty name of Jesus, we say, amen.